waving at me. He's one of the four people in the crowd today. So we're proud that you have joined us. We're praying for everyone here in our congregation. We love you and we miss you, and hopefully we'll maybe get things back to normal, or as normal as we can, in the next couple of weeks. We'll have more information about that as things go. But as of now, let us put all of that aside and let us worship God. So with that, let us pray. Holy Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us, that we can come and worship you. And we can, and even if it's in our own home, sing praises to you, Lord, and worship you and pray to you and give you the honor and the glory that you so richly deserve. And Lord God, I come at this time asking you if you will be with our congregation here at Etheridge. You'll help us to strive to be as close as we can through all these times that we're going through and all the things that are happening, that we'll still strive to reach out to each other so we will still be unified and we'll still be close and we'll still strive more than anything to seek you and to seek your will. And Lord, in these times, help us to reach out to those and let people see our light shine so they can see you through us, Lord. And Lord, all those that we often pray for that are sick of this congregation, Lord, just bless them in a way that you know that they need, and just watch over them. And I guess for us, Lord, as we worship here today, and as we worship in our homes and the places that we choose to do that, Lord, let us put everything aside, all the worries of today and all of the things that are going on, and let us worship you in spirit and in truth. And let us hold you up and understand, Lord, that you are the sovereign God. And you have all of this in control. And let us always remember that. And Lord, with these things, I ask you, as we go through these, that you will forgive us of our sins. And you'll help us to stand justified in your sight. And you'll help us to always again seek you. And with these things, Lord, I pray in your Son's holy and mighty name. Amen.
And again, good morning. I'd like to read in your hearing this morning Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He will keep you, will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on the right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. glory. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand He leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. For the Lord's Supper this morning, footprints of Jesus. Sweetly, Lord, we have heard Thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where Thy footprints falling, lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go.
This week I had several conversations with different people, but a few of those stood out to me as I thought about what I wanted to talk about this morning before the Lord's Supper. One of those conversations was about
what a year that we've had so far. And I think the person that I was having the conversation with was implying all the craziness that has occurred between natural disasters, the sickness, and just several things in between. What a year we've had. If you would have told me back in the fall that this would occur, that we would have all these cancellations, all this destruction, I don't know that I would have believed you. But as I thought about what a year that we've had, I began to think about the uniqueness of it. What can be gained from the situation, from the hand that we've been dealt this year? Now, by no means am I implying that I believe that God had caused this, had caused these things to happen to our country or our cities. By no means do I think that He wanted any of this to happen. But I think about the uniqueness of the situation. We have a new perspective of what it means to be a member of God's church. We have a new perspective, we have a new love, we have a new fondness of our family at our local congregations. And never before have we been presented with a situation where we desired to be with our family as much as we do now. I also think about the uniqueness of the time that we've been given to be still and to know who our God is. I've been able to see individuals doing Bible studies that they've never had the opportunity to partake in before, to read the Bible to an extent that they just didn't have time to do before. And I think about the exposure that God's Word has had in the last few months. People that may have never stepped foot in a church building were exposed to the love of Jesus. What a year that we've had. Another conversation, or it was actually a post that I saw a friend of mine make, was that he was ready for things to go back to normal. And as I thought about this, and I thought about what our normal would look like, I began to think, I don't want to go back to normal, in a sense. Because normalcy before this year was rushed, was not focused on the things that I desired to focus on, in the things that I feel like God desired us to be focused on. I feel like our new normalcy should not look like that back in 2019. Our new normal should have a new fire burning to do the work of God, to spread the word of God, and to keep that fire to serving Him. And so this morning, I want to think about our normalcy and what our normalcy would look like. I hope that you've had an opportunity during this time to have a more intimate time with the Lord's Supper. This opportunity that we have to eat a meal together in celebration, in memory of Jesus and what He did for us. And I pray that new normalcy has a new perspective, has a new closeness to how we are joined into this meal. Because we are the reason. We are the reason that Jesus came, and we are the reason that Jesus died and gave His life for us. So this morning, let's remember that. Let's celebrate that together. Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful for this morning and the beauty of it. God, we're thankful for this time that we can be together in spirit, that we can lift up a prayer to You of thanksgiving, and that we can give You all the praise and all the glory, God. Father, at this time, we just want to thank You for allowing Your Son Jesus to spend part of His life here on earth and to be a sacrifice, a living and true sacrifice, and an example to those around him. God, his normalcy was not what the world considered to be normal, and we are thankful that he had the courage and the wisdom to not be normal. Father, we're thankful for his passion and his dedication to what he came on this earth to do. And this morning, God, as we break this bread, we want to remember that body that he gave on the cross for you and for me. God, thank you for him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. And likewise, Father, we want to thank you for this cup, for the blood that it represents, God, that flowed through Jesus' body. God, we're thankful that he was willing to have it taken from his body. And Father, we just want to remember that. We want to thank you for that sacrifice, God. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. And at this time, we want to give thanks to God for the things that he has blessed us with. Oh, another week has gone by that I'm just so thankful for the people in my life and the things that God's blessed me with. And so as we give back to God, again, you can do that here at Etheridge by mailing it in to our P.O. Box 8, or you can come by the building and drop that off, as well as pick up a communion if you need that. But we just want to, we're just so thankful this week. Again, another week of life, another week of health. Let's just praise God for that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again. We just praise your name this morning. Father, we just have so much to be thankful for, and what a year it has been, God. But we want to thank you for time. We want to thank you for family and friends, and God, for the things that you've blessed us with. God, we know that you will provide for us. If we just put our trust in you and put all of our care into you, God, showing you that we trust you, we know that you will take care of us. So help us to do that. Help us to give freely to those that need help. And Father, again, we're just thankful for all of our blessings, and we want to acknowledge that those come from you, God. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for part two of our worship service. Before Ben speaks, give me the Bible. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed. No storms can hide that radiance, peaceful beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. I remember a time in my ministry when I had to stop and devote time to a weakness. It's no secret. Organization will always be a weakness of mine. I am just not mentally, I guess, built that way. I tell you, I've prayed about it. I tell you, I've spent time on it, working on it, because I know it's a weakness. And when Anna Reed and I moved to Memphis in a whole new world of hustle and bustle, at one point I decided I was going to take some Franklin Covey classes, and I had to buy these materials to go to this class, and one of them was a daily planner. I thought, this is going to be real good. And another thing, Stephen Covey has written numerous books, and one of the books he has written is First Things First. And in that book, in the very beginning of the book, he asked, what is one thing that if you did superbly and consistently that would have a positive and significant effect on your personal life? Then, of course, he carries that on to ask that same question about your professional life. And then it comes to the point where he asks, if we know that there is this one thing that if we did, it would change our lives in such a positive way, then why don't we spend enough energy to get it done? We just read a man asking a question about the law, answering the question correctly, and Jesus telling him that he answered the question correctly. And I think about this Northeast Mississippi preacher named J.A. Thornton, who used to always say, keep the main thing the main thing. But if we even take that question and we apply it to our spiritual life, and we ask ourselves that question, and we see Jesus giving the answer to the question of what is this one thing? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then why don't we devote the energy to get it done? I think sometimes the problem lies in practical application. I believe sometimes we drill facts into our mind and we have a knowledge, a cerebral knowledge, that this is important. But we don't always know how to apply that in practical situations. That's why I love what comes next in Luke chapter 10. Starting in verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked, and who is my neighbor? The story that follows is a story that I know every one of you have heard over and over and over again. It is about a man who falls amongst robbers, who is beaten and left for dead, about how a Levite and a priest and a Samaritan walk by. Two walk by, one stops and puts wonderful amounts of hospitality upon this beaten man, taking him to the inn, taking care of him, and even telling the innkeeper, if anything else is needed, give it to him, and when I return, I will take care of that then. And then Jesus ends it with, who was neighborly? And the lawyer answers, the expert in the law replied, the man who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is a beautiful, beautiful parable that we maybe sometimes place our focus a little bit too much on one area where we neglect another area. This story comes on the heels of God teaching us a lesson about what the main thing is. And the main thing in our life has to be that we love God with everything and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. When I ask or pose the question, who is our neighbor? We see a story about a man who has been beaten on the side of the road. We have a Levite and a priest who walk by. We know, and I know you know too, by reading the Old Testament, that if either one of these men come close to a dead body, they will be contaminated and will not be able to carry out their duties within the temple. And so for them, it's one of those deals where they weigh it out. In real time, should they help this man? More than likely he's gone. I don't need to mess with the work that I need to do. So they walk by on the other side of the road. But then the Samaritan comes and he's the one who does the neighborly thing. He's the one who keeps focused on the main thing. God would never create a law that would keep you from helping a man who had been beaten, robbed, and left for dead in the ditch. The Samaritan remembered the main thing. Now that you've walked with me a while this morning, we come to our next lesson at the table. And this flows directly from this parable that we refer to as the parable of the Good Samaritan, on the heels of the greatest command and the second. This is a story that also you have heard, and it's a story that we find in the house of Lazarus. And in this house, this story is told as